Last summer, you swam there once again. The water soothing and almost tepid as the smell of disturbed silt rose around you. In the distance, swans drifted, but the surface was calm, with pale rills of high cloud reflected in the water. There are few realizations that break as strongly as that feeling for the terrain around your first home. It is a totally truthful sense of attentiveness to growth, to rumpled, unexpected rises and dips in the ground, and the graceful sweep of ancient roots from beech trees or oaks. An affection almost equal to that felt towards another human. Everything you know about how to perceive the world was learnt here. Saturday mornings were for leaving the house and climbing up high, experiencing that sense of unburdened ownership of the world that sometimes comes with a shift in perspective. You see the high cathedral 2 miles away as the crow flies. Hear the clang of metal on metal as milk churns are unloaded at the creamery down the road. Catch sight of the house you live in, built in 1854, and see how well settled it is in itself, like an early Victorian lady sitting in spread skirts surveying the view to the southwest. For all of us, these first lessons in rhythm unfold in a seasonal dance that is like a kindly teacher. Not the one who inflicted misery on you in primary school, neither name-calling nor mocking. Instead, nature is the patient teacher in a Garden of Eden, who shows what you are free to absorb and touch, an automatically Socratic presence that allows the inner self to deduce for itself. So everything you learnt about how time worked, how it made you feel, came from the discovery and observation of seasons, and within each season a month, and within those months the days. Later, you would read Philip Larkin's wise and melancholic question, "Where can we live but days?" And with that would understand the freedom and the curtailments of time. But in childhood, rhythms were absorbed through physical freedom and an assumed right to wander where you want. In Monaghan, and at the age of 6, you trekked with Davy Simpson up and down his fields as the horse pulled the harrow, and together you ploughed up and down through the claggy clay. The sister and brother Simpsons, Emily and Davy, also offered the concept of a tea break and respite from labour during haymaking, sharing their tea in the novelty of tin mugs, unfolding thick sandwiches from paper bags, later teasing you by tossing you within the hay until, very briefly, you were enclosed within a stack. You recall laughter, their clear enjoyment of you, a child presence in their lives, and learn what it is to be approved of for no particular reason other than that you are fresh, new and willing to play. So it's to place that you still return, testing such deep attachments. Strip them back to their basics and you arrive at this word, love. You could whisper it repeatedly as if addressing a person. I love you. In another time it might be, I love thee. Or, thee I love. The thee is this place of fields high and low, known as intimately as a beloved body, undressed and lain beside, recognised as the only source of peace. Perhaps that's the nub of it. How many times in life do we feel deeply, ardently, free and at peace? You recall a time of no responsibilities whatsoever, and within that, time itself, turning over day by day, moving from explosions of cadmium yellow gorse as if imagined by Cézanne, who once said that colour is the place where our brain and the universe meet, to the white and pink toss of whitethorn blossom, and on to heavy haws in autumn, to collecting indigo sloes and fallen beech nuts. Then, the winters of heavy snows, when you imagined yourself as H.E. Bates's passionate Lydia skating with young Richardson all winter long. Except, of course, there was no ice skating in Monaghan. Nevertheless, the landscape seemed very novelistic and the fantasy of skating till dusk was not wasted. It was a song of innocence in your life, where you learned a little about temporality and beauty, and perhaps how to carry these forward into the days when experience would inevitably shoulder in beside such a foundation. And after the carrying forward, one day, sooner than you imagine, there will be the letting go. Again, as with a beloved body, its lineaments thinning, its strength waning with the confusions of passing time. Everything that has anchored you, providing you with your own special knowledge of what is unique and unimaginable by anybody else.